From the KERA Newsroom, I'm BJ Austin. We'll hear from a North Texan teen who's trying to excel in school while recovering from a brain injury. First, to the weekend arrest of a former SMU law school dean. John Atanasio was arrested on a prostitution charge Sunday and booked into the Collin County Jail. The 60-year-old was released after posting $500 bond on the Class B misdemeanor. Texas Department of Public Safety troopers arrested Atanasio, but are not releasing additional details. SMU says it does not comment on matters under police investigation, but a university spokeswoman told KERA this morning that Atanasio will not teach his classes this week. Atanasio was the SMU Law School Dean from 1998 to 2013. The artistic director of a leading African-American theater company in North Texas has been placed on administrative leave following his arrest Friday for allegedly soliciting sex from two boys. KERA's Dwali Sykoutow has more on the impact Trey Garrett's arrest has on Jubilee Theater in Fort Worth.
The arrest warrant identifies the 33-year-old as DeCloy Garrett Beecham, but among theater lovers, he's known as Trey Garrett, a charming and energetic Houston native whose very goal was to introduce theater to more young people. Glenda Thompson is managing director at Jubilee.
I've seen him grow the audience and grow the theater with the works that he's brought to us. He's extremely talented.
Since the 2011-2012 season, Garrett introduced such plays as Top Dog Underdog, the Pulitzer Prize-winning drama, and under his direction, the company is presenting Charlaine Woodard's one-woman trilogy, Pretty Fire. The final installment of that trilogy, In Real Life, is in previews and scheduled to open Friday. But Garrett will no longer be conducting any theater business, something Jubilee's Board of Directors decided during an emergency weekend meeting.
This is something that Mr. Garrett is really engaged in as Trey Garrett and doesn't really have anything to do with Jubilee Theater. So we felt it certainly important that we gave him the time to sort through things moving forward.
Two boys, an 11-year-old and a 17-year-old, separately accused Garrett of compelling prostitution, meaning offering to pay them money in exchange for sex. A third person, another 11-year-old, initially accused Garrett of kidnapping and soliciting prostitution, but later recanted. Attorney Patrick Curran represents Trey Garrett.
My client, DeCloyce Beecham, maintains his innocence on both these charges.
He says his client and his wife are distressed over false accusations against the artistic director.
That's very damaging to his reputation. No matter what the outcome, it's hard to get that back. So that's a big loss for him. If this case is never charged by the DA or it's dismissed, or if he wins a trial and he's found not guilty, he still has irreparable damage for his reputation.
Curran says there's a lot more to this story that hasn't been revealed publicly, and he hopes people won't judge his client based on allegations. Jubilee says it's conducting its own internal investigation and will take further action as warranted. Dwahli Sykoutow, KERA News, Fort Worth.
The documentary series A Path Appears looks at how poverty continues to breed inequality across the world. Today on Think, the series director, Mauro Sharmayev, talked to Chris Boyd about what her team learned by visiting people living on the margins.
We all really see early childhood interventions and education as absolute definitive markers for change. I mean, they make such an enormous difference. And it's very hard sometimes to convince, you know, whether it's government or the financial investment side of tackling these insurmountable issues like poverty, to say if you make these investments on the front end, you will make a much wiser and less costly investment than trying to solve these problems on the back end with jails and with imprisonment and lack of education and lack of job opportunity and drug addiction and all the vulnerabilities that come when you don't have any opportunities.
A Path Appears airs tonight at 9 on KERA-TV, and you can attend a public screening of Episode 2 Wednesday at Texas Woman's University. Details are at kera.org/think, where you can also listen to the podcast of today's show. Caitlin Kirtner suffered massive bleeding in her brain when she was 12. The Tarrant County girl survived, but the incident affected her short-term memory. As part of KERA's American Graduate Initiative, Stella Chavez talks to Caitlin, who's now 15, about what life has been like and how she keeps up with school.
Routines are good for Caitlin. So are sticky notes and reminders jotted down on multiple calendars. She sets several alarms on her phone each day, and at night, she and her mom go over everything she has to do the next day. She says the past 3 years haven't been easy.
They've been very challenging, having to completely change the way that you think and the way that you have to learn is very hard. And it's kind of a wake-up call that you need to cherish every moment you have. You never know.
That wake-up call happened September 2nd, 2011, while Caitlin was in school. She wasn't feeling well and went to the counselor's office. The principal called her mom to pick her up. But before she could get there, Caitlin had a seizure. Paramedics arrived and took her to the hospital.
It's arteriovenous malformation.
That's Caitlin's mom, Wendy Kirtner, explaining what happened in her daughter's brain.
The capillaries are supposed to make direct connections between the arteries and the veins. And in an AVM, it's malformed. So it just basically looks like this big nest or cluster of blood vessels. And so there just weren't the right connections being made. So for whatever reason, on that particular day, it just burst.
Caitlin spent 6 or 7 hours in surgery, and after a week in the intensive care unit, she was moved to an inpatient rehab center where she did all kinds of therapy morning till afternoon. She regained physical movement pretty quickly, but her short-term memory was pretty much gone. At first, she could only retain information for 3 to 5 minutes.
It's kind of like somebody gives you the information, and there's, you know, a chalkboard in your mind, and you write down the information. And over the course of an hour or a day, bits and parts of that information that you were told gets erased.
And with constant reminders and a routine, it's much better now. And she's found another coping strategy.
Definitely music is a big stress reliever for me. If I'm frustrated with school, I'll just kind of step away and, you know, go pick up my guitar, go play the piano, and just escape for a little while, and then come back when I'm ready.
Caitlin's enrolled in iUniversity Prep, a free online school in the Grapevine-Colleyville School District. Caitlin and her mom say it's better suited for her than a traditional public school.
So again, welcome everybody to chemistry. Today's January 28th, and I want to welcome you to a brand new semester here at iUniversity Prep. For those of you that
Kay Rogers is the school's director of virtual education. About 300 students are enrolled in grades 5th through 12th, and about a fourth of them have a health issue or learning disability that makes it difficult for the students to physically be in the classroom every day for 8 hours.
Everything we do is recorded. So all the live lessons, tutorials, everything is recorded so she can go back and listen to that recording again.
And in between lessons, Caitlin will pick up the guitar and sing another one of her own tunes. Stella Chavez, KERA News.
You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm BJ Austin.